الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our readings in the treatise of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى that he has entitled مسائل الجاهلية the affairs of the days of ignorance. And this is the fourth class, and there has preceded three classes with regards to some benefits that the author, he mentioned in the introduction, very important benefits, and we had taken a number of those affairs related to the definition of al-jahiliyyah and its reality, and how it occurs, and likewise the different types of ignorance, and the one that is most severe from those types. And we had taken points with regards to the importance of learning about falsehood and being aware of these affairs, particularly the affairs of al-jahiliyyah, that the people they were upon at the coming of the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was sent to mankind as a prophet and messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the people there are those who are Jews, and there were those who are Christians, and then likewise there are those who are pagans, and there are those who are Sabians, and they were all upon a foul way and a misguided way, even those who were ascribing to the book and ascribing to a prophet and claiming that they were following a revelation that had preceded, like the Jews and the Christians, even them they had fallen into severe deviation and misguidance, except for a small group from the people of the book who are still holding on fast, who are still holding fast to that real legislation and law. So the majority of the people, they were completely lost and in misguidance, and the books had been changed, and the legislation had been exchanged for whims and desires, and the truth had been concealed, and the falsehood was decorated and made to seem appealing, and the likes like this, and the people, they were on an evil way. So this is who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sent to. These are the people, or this is the situation, this is the condition. This is the condition of the people whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sent as a messenger. He was sent to all of mankind. Some of them, they believed in prophets and messengers, and they believed in the previous revelation and the law and legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, although the vast majority of them, they had exchanged and changed that law and legislation for worldly and personal gain, until only a few, any from mankind, truly remained upon the way of the prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wassalam, and the others from mankind, they were pagans and polytheists, and they worship idols along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have seen likewise that to know about these affairs in order to avoid them is of utmost importance, and that a person, he will never truly understand the reality of at-tawheed until he likewise understands its opposite, and that is a shirk in every different aspect and all the different manners that it occurs with the heart and with the tongue and with the body parts. And in that, a person, he must be aware of these affairs in order to realize the beauty of at-tawheed, and likewise to understand the beauty and the bounty and blessing about iman. A person, he must realize the reality likewise of al-kufr and disbelief. And also, in order to understand the truth and the beauty of al-Islam, a person, he must also understand all of the ways that are contrary to that. Because if not, maybe he will not realize the blessing that he has. Maybe he will not realize the blessing that he has. As is well known, a person, he does not know the value of safety and security, and to live in peace and in harmony without fear. Fear for one's life or one's property or one's loved ones, until that is stripped from him and he's living in fear. He's afraid for his life, or he's afraid for his family or his property. At this time, he will realize the great bounty of al-amn, being safe and being sound, and not having to worry about one's blood or one's property or one's loved ones and the likes like this. And likewise, a person who is always healthy, he will not realize the blessing of health and having a well-being in his mind and his body and able to move freely, until some of that is stripped from him and he tastes the illness of sickness and the weakness that comes to the body or to the mind. And now he will realize the great bounty that he had before with regards to the well-being and the health that had preceded. So likewise, a person, he will not realize the beauty of al-Islam, and likewise the beauty of al-Tawheed, and the beauty of al-Iman, and the benefit of that, until he realizes its opposites from a shirk wa kufr and a nifaq, and likewise the sunnah. A person, he will not truly understand the blessing and the beauty of the sunnah and the great benefit of holding fast to that until he realizes the evil and the foul way of innovation, and he sees that clearly. So to learn the likes of these affairs is of utmost importance. A believer, he must learn the truth. In order to know the truth, he must learn it in detail and know it in detail in order to follow it. He must learn that which is allowed and permissible in order to follow it and to partake in that upon light. And also he must learn that which is evil and foul and wicked and forbidden, and that which would lead to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in order for him to leave that upon clarity likewise. To leave that upon clarity likewise. عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكَنْ يَتَوَقِّهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ شَرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. That I learn about the evil. And the poet, he says that I learn about the evil not for the sake of the evil, but to be aware of it, to avoid it, to take precaution from it and stay away from it. And the one who does not know the difference between evil and good, then he will fall into it. And this likewise has a foundation in the sunnah. We all know, this is a review, briefly, because it has been some time, and since we have had these classes on this particular work, that Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu, he said, كَانَ النَّاسِ يَسَأَلُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي That the people, they used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the goodness, and I used to ask him about the evil, afraid that it would catch up with me. And he meaning afraid that I'll be tried by it and fall into it. So as has proceeded, this does not mean that the people, they never asked about evil, but rather this is the majority of the concern of the people. They're coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking about the obligations, asking about the avenues of goodness, asking about the ways that lead to Jannah. How many narrations do we know? Whenever a desert Arab had come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or one of the companions radiyallahu anhu had come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would say, teach me something, if I do what I'll enter paradise. Lead me to a deed, if I were to perform it, I'll enter paradise. And the likes like this, a number of narrations. And he, in this manner like this, asking about the good, which is something to ask about, no doubt. But likewise, from the wisdom of Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu also, in order to truly be upon that good, and to be steadfast upon that good, and to be firm upon that good, one must know about the evil. One must know about the evil, or maybe he'll be tried. He'll be tried by it, or maybe he will fall into that evil and leave the path of goodness because he was not aware that it is evil. And many times, if a person is tried by evil and he does not realize it in the beginning, by the time he realizes it, maybe it's too late for him. And maybe he'll be encompassed in that and tried by that in a great manner, wa iyadhu billah. Or maybe death will come to him before he's able to repent and return back to the path of goodness and to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it's incumbent to learn about evil. It's incumbent to learn about shirk and disbelief and hypocrisy. It's incumbent to learn about those affairs that would invalidate a person's Islam from the foundation entirely. The invalidators of that Islam, Nawaqid al-Islam, in order to know about them, to avoid them upon light. Likewise, it's incumbent to learn about innovation and that which brings great deficiency to the religion and takes a person away from the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into deviation in creed, first and foremost, in creed and belief, and likewise in worship, and also in manners and conduct, and dealings and transactions, in order to avoid that likewise upon clarity. Because innovation is from the worst of all sins after shirk. Innovation is from the worst, the most severe of all sins after shirk. So therefore a person, he must know about that. He must know about that in order to avoid it upon clarity. And also as well the major sins, likewise a person, he must be aware of them, he must learn about them. Many people today, especially because of the widespread ignorance, they're involved in innovation. Some of them, they're even involved in shirk, and they think it's tawheed. They're involved in shirk, and they're involved in disbelief, and that's their religion and deen. Yet they state the statement, La ilaha illallah, and they pray and they make hajj. One of them, he will say, as we have seen a number of examples, one of them, he'll be standing in the salah behind the imam, and he will say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, you alone. Oh Allah, do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help. And then that same man who said, Ameen, yani Allahu mustajib, oh Allah, answer our dua. Whenever he himself, he gets in sujood, he says, Madad ya fulan. He'll start calling on so-and-so, on Bedawi, or Jailani, or this one or that one, or Ali, or Hussein, or Hassan, or Fatima, radiyallahu anhum, and the likes of this, or Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he completely invalidating that statement that he had just made. previously, and that supplication that he made completely invalidated that one. He's in the most humble and the best place. He's in the salat and he's in sujood, and then he'll begin calling on the creation besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Besides Allah Azza wa Jal, or they'll make Hajj and the likes like this, and they'll be making the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. They'll say that with their tongue, and then whenever they get in front of the graves, they'll call on the graves besides Allah. They'll call on the graves besides Allah. Or on the day of Arafah, they raise their hands and they call on the so-called awliya and the likes like this. Invalidating that statement because of ignorance. So therefore, they have been tried with disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ The worst of it, shirk, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attaching one's heart with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance to others besides Allah Azza wa Jal, while they believe that it's the right path. While they believe that it's the good way, that it's pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is something that a believer, he must learn in order to avoid that affair. In order to avoid that affair and save himself from that and his family likewise. So people are falling into the shirk because they're ignorant of al-jahiliyyah. And people are falling into innovation likewise because they're ignorant of al-jahiliyyah, that which the people were upon in the time of al-jahiliyyah. So they're falling into all different types of innovation. Some innovations leading them out of Islam, waliyadu billah. Some innovations leading them out of Islam, waliyadu billah. The innovations of building on top of the graves, and the innovations of making tawaf around the graves, and the innovations of slaughtering for the one in the grave, waliyadu billah. This is major disbelief. Yani to slaughter for the one in the grave, to make tawaf around the grave, seeking nearness to the one in the grave, even if he called it from those good names like at-tawassul and the likes like this. Calling it by another name does not change the reality. This is what they do today. Likewise, they call arriba, fawaid bankiya. They call riba, any interest. They call it bank benefits. Any bank benefits, getting benefits from the bank. But in reality, it's called riba, it's called interest, it's haram, from the worst of that which is forbidden, from the dealings and transactions, any from the worst of that. So they try to change the name, but the reality stays the same. Therefore, the ruling likewise stays the same. Also, they try to change the name of al-khamr. Al-khamr means alcohol. They call it al-mashrubat al-ruhiyya. Even they have it on the signs here, spirits. Wine and spirits, any of the drink for the soul and the likes like this. And this does not change the reality. It's still alcohol. It's still forbidden. It's still any alcohol. It's still forbidden. And the likes like this. So changing the name of something, it doesn't change its reality. This is from the tricks of the devil. But the one who has knowledge of these affairs, he will be able to identify that right away. So even if they call it at-tawassul, they'll know that that's falsehood. That's not tawassul. Tawassul is drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worshiping Him in a manner that He has legislated, in a manner that was displayed in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is called tawassul. And also doing the righteous deeds and calling on Allah by His beautiful names and attributes. This is called tawassul. As for calling on somebody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love and trust and reliance and hope, then this is called shirk. Regardless of what one may think, this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to uproot from the hearts of the people and to remove from the lands. So it's very important to know about jahiliyyah. It's very important to know about falsehood. It's very important to know about evil, especially in our days whenever it's so widespread. And likewise, when it has a great acceptance in the hearts of many of those who ascribe to al-Islam. Many of the people, they have great enmity for the people of the Sunnah, because they have been cultivated and raised. They have been cultivated and raised upon falsehood. And that which they know about Islam is not the true Islam. Rather, it's an Islam that's greatly deviated. Yani greatly deviated and changed. But this is all they know from their fathers and their forefathers. So therefore, when somebody shows them the clarification in the book and in the Sunnah, and in the proper understanding, they take them as enemies. And that's what has happened. And that is what has happened with this particular imam. And we have seen a number of examples about that. Likewise, with regards to the major sins as well. A person, he's not aware of them, maybe he will fall into them. The major sins that occur with the tongue, and the major sins that occur with the eyes and the ears, the major sins that occur with regards to business transactions and doing dealings, any with money and the likes like this, earning a living. All of this, there are limits that are set with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, a believer, he must learn about that which is allowed and permissible in order to perform it, and learn about that which is forbidden and impermissible in order to avoid it. Because if not, a person, he may fall into that what he does not realize. He may fall into that, well, he does not realize. So if a person is far from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this means that he is closer to disbelief. And we have seen that the reality of the sunnah is that it is like the ship of Nuh alayhi salam. As that Imam Malik, he mentioned, rahimahullah, a sunnah ka safinati Nuh, that the sunnah is like the ship of Nuh alayhi salam, and rakibaha naja, wa man takhallafa anha halak. And whoever boards that ship, then he will be safe. And whoever stays behind, then he will be destroyed. So just like in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, those who believed in him and followed him and obeyed him alayhi salatu wasalam, and they boarded the ship with him, then they are the believers and they were saved. And they had the good outcome and the good ending. And those who did not board that ship along with Nuh and his followers alayhi salatu wasalam, that they are destroyed, even if they were from the closest of people and blood relationship to him, like his son. We all know the story. So this is the case for us today. The ocean of misguidance and the ocean of trials and tribulations and deviations and innovations and this life with different whims and desires and the lights that are impermissible. A person, he has to be able to sail straight upon the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has to be firm and steadfast upon obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is by knowing the sunnah and holding fast to that. And the one who holds fast to the sunnah, then he'll be safe. He'll be safe in this path. And whoever does not hold fast to the sunnah, then he'll be drowned out in the shubuhat and the misunderstandings and misconceptions and the deviations and innovations that have been introduced. Or he will be drowned out in the shahawat and those impermissible lusts and desires that will try a person and weaken his faith and weaken his deen, waliyadhu billah. So therefore, to know about these evils in order to be upon clarity, in one's religion. Okay, that will, to be upon clarity in one's religion. So the author, he says, yani, after this, he begins with the first issue. Al-mas'alatu al-ula. The first issue. أنهم يتعبدون بإشراك الصالحين في دعاء الله وعبادته يريدون شفاعتهم عند الله لظنهم أن الله يحب ذلك وأن الصالحين يحبونه. So the author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, the first issue, يعني the first مسألة, المسألة الأولى من مسائل الجاهلية التي خالف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيها أهل زمانه. The issues of al-jahiliyyah, of the days of ignorance, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed the people of his time with regards to. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to. The first one is that the people in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are worshipping Allah. أَنَّهُمْ يَتَعَبَّدُونَ يَعْنِي لِلَّهِ, that they were worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal by associating partners with Him, by associating the righteous in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and calling on Allah and worshiping Him. That they used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal in dua and supplication and invocation. And likewise in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, they're doing this because they are hoping for the intercession of those objects that they worship besides Allah. And likewise, they're doing this because they think that this is something that is beloved to Allah, and that the righteous, they like this likewise, and that the righteous, they like this and he from them as well. So this is the first issue. The first issue, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed the people of al-jahiliyyah with regards to, and the greatest issue and the most important affair, rather the foundation of the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all of the prophets and messengers before him alayhi musallatu wa sallam, is to make the worship purely and sincerely for the sake of Allah. And the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to worship Allah, and they knew Allah azza wa jal, and they believed in him. Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh, the tribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Arab and the Arabian Peninsula in those days, they were upon a deen, but their deen was shirk, and they were upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. They believe in Allah, and they believe that Allah is the creator and the provider and sustainer, and they believe that this the dominion is in the dominion of this heavens and earth, of the heavens and earth are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that He has authority and command. But along with that, they take intermediators and intercessors with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, directing different types of worship to their mediators besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're associating partners in worship, specifically in dua and in supplication and invocation and other actions of worship likewise. So they believe in Allah. They believe in Allah. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتُهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَقُلُّنَّ اللَّهِ. That if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, then indeed they will say Allah. So therefore they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, that He's the creator and the provider and the sustainer of this worldly life, and the one disposing of the affairs. But along with that, they took partners. They took partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worship idols besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They had gods. They had objects of worship that they worshipped along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality of that worship was that they took these objects of worship as intercessors. They did not believe that their idols created the creation or send rain from the sky. They did not believe that their idols had the ultimate authority and command and the likes like this. Rather, they believed that their idols were a means to draw them near to Allah Azza wa Jalla. They believe that the objects that they worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here He's mentioning the Salihin, the righteous, that they will be means to draw them near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنَّهُمْ يَتَعَبَّدُونَ بِإِشْرَاكِ الصَّالِحِينَ فِي دُعَاءِ اللَّهِ وَعِبَادَتِهِ. That they used to make partners in worship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, associating the righteous. الصَّالِحِينَ, what is intended by the salih? The salih would be from different categories and different types. And from those that are considered salih, the angels. And it's known that in those times likewise, that some of them, they worshipped angels besides Allah Azza wa Jal. That some from the Arab, in the days of Jahiliyyah, they're worshipping angels. And likewise from the Salih, the one who's considered Salih are the prophets and messengers. Are the prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu wassalam. And likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his time, they're individuals who were worshipping prophets and messengers. They were those who were worshipping Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. Any from? From the noble prophets and messengers. And likewise Uzair, any from the righteous and the pious, and also lesser than them from those who were described with being pious and righteous and known for their noble and good way. And from that is what Allah has mentioned in His book, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى. Have you not seen Al-Lat and Uzza? Al-Lat is mentioned that he was someone who was very generous and kind, that he used to take some different types of food and mix it together and prepare it for the pilgrims whenever they're coming for Hajj. And he would do this as a charity. And he would give it to them as a charity, honoring the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. So whenever he died, they had taken his place, the place of his death, or the place that he used to make that food and the likes like this, that they had taken that, yani after he was buried there, as the places of worship. And then they began worshipping him besides Allah Azza wa Jal. So the fact that they worship the righteous, this is something that is known. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in reality, they're worshipping the righteous and others, and other than that likewise. There were some who were worshipping stars, and some who were worshipping the sun, and there are others that are worshipping the jinn, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the author, he mentioned here the salihin, because this is the one that is closest to the heart of the people. Many times the people are tried by the righteous, yani, in this manner with this false creed, more than they are by a stone or by a tree, or more than they are by a jinn and the likes like this. Any by the righteous, they believe that they have a status and rank with Allah Azza wa Jalla, so therefore they'll be tried by this if they do not have the proper creed, and they will begin to worship them in this manner with the intention of taking them as intercessors. This is so very important to realize. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his people, they fought him. They fought him and they attempted to kill him, and they murdered a number of his companions radiallahu anhum, all because he forbade them from this affair right here, from worshipping others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what they were doing. They're worshipping these idols, taking them as intercessors, and they believe that this is pleasing to Allah, and they believe that these righteous people, they were pleased with that. This is from the most important affairs to realize. The people who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to, they believe in Allah. How do they believe in Allah? They believe that He's the Creator. They believe that He's the Sustainer. They believe that He's the Provider. He's the one who sends the rain from the sky. He's the one who causes the crops to grow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who is disposing of the affairs of the heavens and the earth. The sun, moon, and stars is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And they worshipped Allah. And they used to have respect and honor for Allah azza wa jal. But the problem that they had was that along with that, they took intercessors with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had idols, objects of worship besides Allah. They had objects of worship besides Allah. Some of those objects of worship, they were righteous. They were righteous people. Some of them were angels. Some of them were prophets and messengers. Some of them were righteous people, or those whom they deemed to be righteous, in their society and in their belief. And they did not believe that the angels create anything from the creation, nor send the rain. They did not believe that the prophets or the messengers, there were creators or providers or sustainers. They did not believe that land, for example, He created or provided or sustained. Rather, what they believed is that these righteous individuals, they had status and rank with Allah. They believed that they have jah, position or manzila, عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. They would look at themselves and they would say, "Oh, we're sinful. We have sins. We're deficient. We have our souls are tainted with sins and with much disobedience. With much disobedience. As for these righteous that we're calling on, then their souls are pure, and Allah is pleased with them. And they'll draw near to these others besides Allah Azza wa Jalla with this intention, that they'll draw them close to Allah. That they'll draw them close to Allah." This is why Sumayya, she was killed, radiallahu anha. And this is why Yasir, he was killed, radiallahu anhu. This is why Bilal, he was tortured, radiallahu anhu. Because of this right here. Because of this right here. This is why they lost their lives, a number of them, or they were persecuted in that great manner. They went through great hardship and difficulty, and they were forced out of Mecca, and they were cast out of Mecca. And the believers, they made hijrah, they migrated to Abyssinia, fleeing for their life and fleeing with their religion, because the people in Mecca, they did not want to leave off their idols. They insisted on taking intercessors and mediators with Allah Azza wa Jal. They insisted on this until they're ready to kill, until they're ready to fight. And this is what they did, and this is what happened. And this is what happened. And eventually they plotted to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of this affair. Because he forbade them and he warned them from taking intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jal. For taking intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jal. For taking mediators with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For calling on the righteous. For calling on the angels. For calling on the prophets. For calling on the righteous. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade them from that. And clarified that that is falsehood. So therefore they fought him. So therefore they fought him and they attempted to kill him. And there are wars. And there are great hardships and difficulties that the believers they faced. And the story is well known. This is the foundation of all of that. This is the foundation of all of that. Because they were upon jahiliyyah. The worst of the jahiliyyah, of the people of jahiliyyah, was this affair right here. That they believe in Allah, but they take intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. And the reason why they take intercessors, because they believe that these intercessors have high status and rank with Allah, and that if they draw near to these intercessors, the prophets and the angels and the righteous, that they'll draw them close to Allah. يَتَقَرَّبُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ لِيُقَرِّبُوهُمْ. This is what they would say. They seek nearness to those in the grave and to their idols and the likes like this in order for those righteous people to draw them close to Allah. To draw them close to Allah. This was their creed. This is the creed of Quraysh. هذه ملة عبد المطلب. This is the way of عبد المطلب. This is the way of Quraysh and the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many of them were like this. They're taking the righteous as intercessors. Others, they're worshipping stones and rocks. And also they believed as well that these stones and rocks, they were signs or emblems representing souls, pure and righteous souls likewise. So it wasn't the fact that they were worshipping a stone because it's a stone, or they believed in that rock right there. Rather, they had taken that rock as a rams and as a sign, believing that there were righteous spirits in the heavens and the likes like this, that stone represents And they'll call on that stone, but really they're calling on the soul that they believe in, upon the spirit that they believe in. And they had these creeds like this. They had these creeds like this. So they worship their idols along with believing in Allah. The reason why they worship them is in order to get close to Allah. So they want to get close to the idol, to the object of worship, or to the righteous one in the grave, in order to get close to Allah. This is what he's saying. This is the first issue from the affairs of Jahiliyyah. And then they believe that Allah, He loves this, and they believe that those righteous people, they love it likewise. And they believe that this is from honoring them and respecting them. And then the author, he says, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. And this is just as the Most High, He has said, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And they worship besides Allah those who do not harm them, nor do they benefit them, and they say that these are our intercessors with Allah. And they say that these are our intercessors with Allah. So this is very clear, and he clarifying. This is what they say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's informing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these noble verses about their creed and their belief. وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. That they worship others besides Allah, those who have no ability to harm them, and likewise no ability to benefit them. They worship others besides Allah, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who have no ability to harm them, nor any ability to benefit them. وَيَقُولُونَ. And whenever you ask them about that, why are you worshipping these idols besides Allah? Why are you calling on the righteous besides Allah? Why are you calling on the dead besides Allah? They do not harm you and they do not benefit you whatsoever. And they know that likewise. And they know that likewise. What do they say? يَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They say these are our intercessors with Allah. They say that these are our intercessors with Allah. Meaning the reason why they're worshipping them, the reason why they're worshipping, يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ يَتَوَجَّهُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِأَنْوَعِ الْعِبَادَةِ. And that they devote their self to these idols or to these objects of worship with different types of worship, from supplication and from seeking relief and from seeking aid and provision and the likes like this, or they'll slaughter for them, or they'll take oaths by them and the likes like this. But the reason why they do that, because they believe that that object or that righteous person is pleased with that, and this is a means for them to draw near to Him, and in turn He will draw them near to Allah. And in turn, He will draw them near to Allah. We repeat this over and over. Some people will say, why does He keep repeating Himself? Because we see that today in many of the Muslim lands, this is exactly what they're doing today. This is exactly what they're doing today. They're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing. They're calling on the grave besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a grave of Dusuqi, and they have a grave of Tijani, and they have a grave of Al-Badawi, and they have a grave of this one and that one. And all of them, if you ask them why they're calling on them besides Allah, what do they say? هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. If you tell them, why are you worshipping Dusuqi? Why are you worshipping Jailani? Why are you worshipping this one and that one? He's not able to benefit you or to harm you. They're going to say the same thing. They say the same thing. هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. These are our intercessors with Allah. They're going to intercede on our behalf with Allah. They're righteous. And even some of them, they're not even righteous. And we have seen the story of Al-Badawi. We have seen the story of Al-Badawi. Many of them, even they're not even righteous. And then others, these are some of the most famous in the land. And there's other graves that they called on besides Allah, or that they have built the mausoleum and the al-dariha and the shrines and the likes like this. And it's an empty grave and there's nothing there. And this has been proved by people who know that. People have come and destroyed those graves and overturned them and found that there's nothing there. And others, they have found that there's donkeys there, or that there were dogs there and the likes like this. This is something that is well known. This is something that is well known. In Egypt, there's a place, there's a grave, they call him Sidi Kulayb. Kulayb, because Kulayb, in reality, it means the little dog. Because in reality, they had buried a dog there. And then the man, he made up a name. This is the Wadi. But in reality, it's the grave of a dog. And people, they fall into this trap, and they believe that they go to that grave, and they will receive benefit. And that grave will draw them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the person in the grave. So therefore they direct the worship, different actions of worship to the one in the grave. They make tawaf around the graves today. We find this in the Muslim lands. You will see it. You can see it. You can witness it with your eyes. I know individuals who had family members in different Muslim lands, and they grew up in America. So they heard about the da'wah, and they heard about the misguided ways of the of a number of the Muslims, but it was not until they go back to their home to visit their family for the first time, and they realize that every single masjid has a grave in it. So now they're asking the question, what's the ruling on praying in the masjid? They'll call me. I know individuals call me like this, telling me there's no masjid at all to pray in certain Muslim lands. And in his neighborhood, all of them have graves in them. Rather, many of the people, if the masjid doesn't have a grave in it, it's nothing for them. It's nothing for the masjid that doesn't have a grave in it. It's almost like it's nothing. It's like they have no care for it or concern for it. And many of them, you will find them in tears, humbling themselves in humiliation before the grave. And whenever they come to the masjid, there's no humbleness and no humility. We have seen that from the worst of them, the extreme Sufis, that this is their case. In front of the graves, they humble themselves in tears. And whenever they come in the masjid, they jump around and dance and laugh. In the masjid, they're spinning in circles, dancing and laughing, hitting on a drum, moving up and down and side to side, and singing and the likes like this. And then whenever they go into the grave, outside of the masjid, they go to the grave, they cry and they weep, and they humble themselves before the one in the grave, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And then they claim that this is from the Sunnah, or that they're the people of the Sunnah, or they claim that this is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is, in reality, is from the greatest opposition, and they're from the greatest enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. But the people, they do not understand this reality. They have the exact same creed. They have the exact same creed as the people of al-Jahiliyyah. Rather, their creed is worse today and more severe. Although they say the Shahada, or although they pray or they make Hajj, their creed is more worse and severe. Because in the time of the Prophet, in the time of Jahiliyyah, they only called on their idols besides Allah, and they only called on the righteous besides Allah whenever it was in good times, in prosperity and ease. As for whenever it became very hard, and they were afraid for their lives, and they would make their religion truly and sincerely for Allah. As for the deviators, as for those who have deviated today, you find that they call on their idols or their objects of worship, the awliya, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in good times and in bad times. In good times and in bad times, and this is something that is witnessed and seen. This is something that is witnessed and seen. Even one of them, he'll come to the most holy of lands, to Mecca, and likewise to Medina, and then he will call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. He will call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. This is something that is very dangerous and very serious, and it's very real. And whenever you ask them why they do that, they tell you, these are our intercessors with Allah. This is the exact same thing. This is the exact same thing. How can they not see? How can they not see? Because they have no concern for knowledge. This is number one. And number two, there are deviant people around them who ascribe to knowledge, who they respect, and they have misinterpreted these texts from them, or they have hidden these texts from them, and they have never heard the likes of these affairs. They have never heard the likes of these affairs. So they have been taken away from knowledge. They have been blinded, and the likes like this. And they have been misled and kept away from the people of the Sunnah. And from their tactics, likewise, is to defame the people of the Sunnah, and to defame the scholars of the Sunnah, and to defame the students of knowledge who call to Tawheed, and to make them look bad, and to make them the people turn away from them and not take from them. This is the ways of those deviant people in order to run them away from the truth. And this is beginning with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammadun Majnun, Muhammadun Majnun. That Muhammad is crazy, Muhammad is crazy. They're walking around following him like this, so the people will not listen to his call, so the people will not listen to his da'wah, so the people will not listen to the Qur'an like this, because they know if they heard his call and they heard his da'wah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will believe and they will follow that, and they'll be affected. So this is the reason for this affair, or this is from the reasons of this affair, having ignorance of these issues and being far away from the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge who are upon the correct path and the correct creed. وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And they say that these are our intercessors with Allah. They're worshipping others besides Allah, those who do not harm them, nor do they benefit them. And whenever they're brought up about that, and whenever they're asked about that, what is the reason for this? They say, these are our intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, he says, قُلَ تُنَبِّئُونَ اللَّهَ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يَشْرِكُونَ. And if the verses continue after this, the verses continue after this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, say to them, O Muhammad, أَتُنَبِّئُونَ اللَّهَ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Are you informing Allah of something that he has no knowledge of in the heavens and the earth? And he claiming that these are their intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is refuting them with regards to this and clarifying that that is falsehood, and that that is not true, and that that is a lie. Are you informing, say to them, are you informing Allah of something that He has no knowledge of in the heavens and the earth? And yet meaning, indeed, this is not correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who has brought the heavens and earth into existence. And He is the one who is providing and sustaining for everything in the heavens and the earth. And therefore, His knowledge has encompassed all of His creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this is not true. They are not intercessors with Allah. They're not intercessors with Allah. This is the meaning of this, of the verse coming after this. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Glorified. Glorified is Allah, high and lofty and free above that which they ascribe and associate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala falsely. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in these verses. He said, وَمَا كَانَ النَّاسُ إِلَّا أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا فَاخْتَرَفُوا. And mankind, they were nothing but one ummah. But one ummah. Yani before this shirk had come. Before they began taking others as intercessors with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ النَّاسُ إِلَّا أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا فَاخْتَلَفُوا. That mankind was nothing but one nation. Nothing but one nation, meaning upon al-Islam and upon al-Tawheed. And then after that they differed. And then after that they differed. وَلَوْ لَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَقُلْدِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي مَا هُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَرِفُونَ. If it had not been for a word, meaning a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has preceded, then your Lord would decide between them and that which they differ. And that which they differ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is affirming that that this shirk is not something, this shirk is something that was new and introduced. Rather, the people, they were created upon the fitrah, and the people, they were created upon tawheed, and the people were upon Islam for a long period before this shirk even was introduced, or before it was even known in mankind. Ibn Kathir, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to this verse, he says, ثُمَّ أَخْبَرَ تَعَالَى أَنَّ هَذَا الشِّرْكِ حَادِثٌ فِي النَّاسِ كَائِنٌ بَعْدَ أَلَمْ يَكُونَ. So now Allah, He is informing in this verse here, that the shirk, paganism and polytheism, associating partners with Allah in worship, is something that had been introduced to mankind before it did not even exist. Any meaning is something new. وَنَ النَّاسِ كُلَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى دِينٍ وَاحِدٍ وَهُوَ الْإِسْلَامِ. And that mankind, all of them, in the origin, they were upon one religion, in one way of life, and that is at Islam. He says, قَالَ ابْنُ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا كَانَ بَيْنَ آدَمٍ وَنُوحٍ عَشْرَةُ قُرُونَ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ ثُمَّ وَقَعَ الْإِخْتِلَافُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَعُبِدَتْ الْإِسْلَامُ وَعُبِدَتْ الْأَصْنَامُ وَالْأَنْدَادُ وَالْأَوْثَانُ فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ رُسُلًا بِآيَاتِهِ وَبَيِّنَاتِهِ وَحُجَّجِهِ الْبَالِغَةِ وَبُرْهَانِهِ الدَّامِغَةِ. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhumah, he says that there is between Adam and Nuh 10 generations. 10 generations, all of them were upon Islam. And then after that, the differing occurred. Yani meaning the deviation in creed. After that, the deviation in creed occurred. And the idols were worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal. The idols after this were worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and at this time Allah, He sent the messengers, alayhi musallatu wasalam, with the clear verses and signs and the proofs and evidences to clarify the truth. لِيَهْلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَا وَيَحْيَا مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَا. In order for the one who is going to be misled and misguided and destroyed, that would occur upon clarity, and likewise for those who are going to live, meaning upon a good path, they will live upon clarity. So therefore, this is the case with regards to shirk, that is something that it came later. And we all know the story of how shirk had occurred. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He referred to these issues in His book in a great chapter, the chapter of Nuh alayhi salam. Just like what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is mentioning, that shirk is something that was introduced. And the people between Adam and Nuh alayhi salam, for 10 generations, all of them are upon Tawheed. For 10 generations, all of them, they are upon At-Tawheed and upon At-Islam. And then later after that, shirk was introduced. But the amazing affair, and from the decree and the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, is the manner that it was introduced, and the manner of the shirk that occurred first in mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in Surah An-Nuh about those people, وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. And they said, the people of Nuh alayhi salam, and they said, and do not leave your idols, do not leave your gods, though your objects of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. Do not leave Wadd, And do not leave Suwa', do not leave Ya'uth, nor Ya'uq wa Nasr. وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا. And indeed they have misled a vast majority of people. And indeed they have misled a vast majority of people. These are the names of the gods, of the people of Nuh. These are the names of those objects of worship of the people of Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were righteous individuals. In the beginning, these individuals, they were all righteous people. This is what is mentioned about them. This is what has come in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that these individuals here, Wad, wa Suwa', wa Yaguth, wa Ya'uq, wa Nasr, they were righteous men. They were righteous men from the people of Nuh, any just before Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And all of them, they died in a rather, in a relatively close time. And whenever they died after this, Shaytan, he came to them in the image of an advisor. And he advised the people that they should set up images on their graves. And they should set up statues on their graves in order to remember them. In order to remember them. Because those people used to remind them of Allah. So therefore, if they see these statues and the likes like this, they will remember those individuals and then they will remember Allah. They'll remember those individuals and then they'll remember Allah, and they fell into that. And they fell into that, and this continued in this way. This continued in this way until that generation passed away, and then the next generation came, and then it was mentioned to them that your forefathers, they only set up these idols here because they used to call on them besides Allah, and they would receive rain. They would receive rain. They used to make al istighatha with them, and they used to do acts of devotion to them. And then at this time they were worshipped. And whenever the knowledge was lost, and the people of knowledge likewise was lost, and ignorance became widespread, at this time Shaytan, he was able to convince the people to taking these images as objects of worship besides Allah. So therefore, the first shirk that happened was the worship of these individuals, of Wad, وَالسُّوَاعِ وَيَغُوثُ وَيَعُوقُ وَنَصْرُ. And they were righteous men. They were righteous men from the people of Nuh alayhi salam, and before his time briefly. And this is how it occurred, that there were statues that were set up on their graves. And then eventually they became to believe that if they were to call on those in the graves besides Allah, that they could be brought near and close to Allah and have benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, this taking intercessors and believing in the graves, this is the first manner that shirk occurred in the children of Adam in this way. And likewise, this is the shirk that is returning and occurring today, even with some of those who ascribe to al-Islam, the very same manner. The very same manner. And from the tricks and the greatest traps that were used in this issue here, introducing shirk for the first time, is the combination of two major trials. The combination of two major trials, and that is the issue, the fitna of the tamathil and the fitna of the qubur. The fitna of the statues and images. The images, the statues, and likewise images, drawings, and the issue of the graves. Whenever they're combined together, now they become a major fitna. And the people who are ignorant, they're deceived in a great manner. Whenever there are idols that are set up, or buildings that are set up, and whenever the graves are decorated in a major manner and made to seem beautiful and the likes like this, then at this time, many of the weak hearts, the weak hearted, and those who have deficiency in their creed and belief, and likewise in their intellect, they will fall into that false creed, and they will begin to believe in the one in the grave. They'll begin to believe in the one in the grave. The fact that they claim he's a righteous man in there, that's one thing. And then if on top of that, they build a building on top of it, or they build images on top of it, or they build a building and images on top of it, and statues and idols and the likes like this, at this time many people, they cannot hold back, except they will believe in that. And they will have put their faith and their hope and trust in that. And they will begin to devote many aspects of worship to the one in the grave besides Allah Azza wa Jal, believing that the one in the grave has status and rank with Allah, and that if they draw near to the one in the grave, that they will be drawn near to Allah. And that this is pleasing to Allah, and that this is honoring the righteous. And that this is honoring the righteous. This is what they believed. This is what they believed. This was the shirk that first occurred in the time of Nuh alayhi salam. The first shirk that was introduced was in this manner, taking intermediators and intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jal, believing in the righteous, in the dead, in the graves. In the dead and in the graves. And then likewise, it is later, many generations, until the last messenger came, that in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or briefly before that, in the days of Jahiliyyah, these same idols, they were found again. Ba'amr ibn Luhay. And it's mentioned that he went to Sham, and he had a dream, and where these idols were. And he dug them up, and he found them, and he brought them back to Mecca, and he's the one who introduced shirk to the Arab specifically. He's the one who introduced ashirk, paganism and polytheism to the Arabs specifically, and he brought these same idols back to Mecca. And then the idols, they increased in number until in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's 360 of them around the Kaaba. There's 360 of them around the Kaaba, and every tribe he had an idol. Every tribe he had his own idol, and the one that's special for him. And also they had many other smaller idols and the likes like this. All of them, they would have their major idol that they would worship. And then they had other smaller idols likewise. The objects of worship that they would worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal. All of them, they did not one of them believed. Abu Jahl, Umayy ibn Khalif, Abu Lahab, not one of them believed that Lad and Uzza, Manat, not one of them believed that these idols created the heavens and the earth. Not one of them believed. Abu Talib, he did not believe this. Abdul Muttalib, before all of them, they did not believe that their idols create anything or provide or sustain anything. Rather, they believe that Allah, He's the creator and the provider and the sustainer. That Allah, He's the creator and the provider and the sustainer, but they took these objects of worship as intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jalla, believing that it would draw them close. Believing that it would draw them close. This is what Allah, He says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. The author, He continues to mention more evidence. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. And Allah, He mentioned in His book, those who have taken others besides Allah, أَوْلِيَاء. Any awliya, meaning gods and helpers and protectors. Any awliya, saints. Any, they have taken them as protectors and gods. Any objects of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that they would aid them and help them. Why did they do that? مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. They say we only do that. We're only worshiping them. Any, we're only devoting these different actions of worship to these objects. To these objects because they're going to draw us near to Allah. They're going to draw us near to Allah. So the reason why they take these intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jalla is because they believe that they will draw them near to Allah. So therefore they have love for Allah. Allah, He clarified this in His book likewise. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. That from mankind there are those who take rivals along with Allah, and they love them as they love Allah. Meaning they have love for Allah, but their love is mixed up and it's not pure. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. And as for those who believe, then their love is more pure. Then their love is greater. Meaning their love is pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore it's not sufficient to believe in Allah, that He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's not sufficient to love Allah. It's not sufficient to worship Allah. This is not enough. Rather, a person, he has to believe in Allah and to worship Allah alone with no partners. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to. And this is why they fought him. And whenever he called to this, they said to him, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجَابٌ. They said, is he making all of the objects of worship one? Verily, this is something amazing. And this is something that they are not ready to do. And they're not going to leave their idols. Rather, they're ready to fight to the death for their idols because they love them. Because they love them. So this is something that is very serious. Yani that a person, he may love Allah. He may worship Allah. He may perform righteous and good deeds, like give charity, for example, or make hajj, for example. This is the way of Lat and the likes of them before. They were making charity and they were making hajj. But along with that, they were calling on intermediators and intercessors. And intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and therefore it did not benefit them whatsoever. Therefore it did not benefit them whatsoever. So likewise today, if there's somebody who makes hajj, or somebody who makes salat, or even if he says La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, but he takes intercessors with Allah, and he takes a mediator between him and Allah, and worship, then that statement will not benefit him, and that charity will not benefit him, and that salat will not benefit him if he died in that manner. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. That indeed He does not forgive that partners are set up with Him in worship, meaning for the one who dies in that manner. But He forgives that which is lesser than that to whom He wills. So again, this is very important. And the author, he's clarifying the likes of these affairs in a number of different works. And the people of misguidance likewise try to defame him and say that he just wants to declare the Muslims to be disbelievers. And they have accused him of being from the Khawarij. And that's not his intention. It's a sincere advice. Sincere advice for those people who are tried by this, so they can see the truth and they can realize that they are upon the ways of the people of Jahiliyyah, and that their deen is the deen of Abdul Muttalib, not the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hoping that they will repent from that and go straight, so that they will not die upon shirk, hoping that they will die upon Islam and repent from what they are upon from falsehood and go straight and die upon a good path and enter paradise. This is the reason for the likes of these classes, the likes of this treatise, and the likes of this work. Likewise, for those people who are already upon the straight path, for them to be more firm and to be steadfast, and for the knowledge to be clear, and for the light to be bright, in order to not be tried by them as well. So a person, he can increase in his faith and be steadfast. For a person to increase in his faith and be steadfast. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. Those who have taken others besides Allah Azza wa Jalla as awliya. Look at the word, it's even the same word. Even Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in His wisdom, He's using the same word here, and this is the same word they use today. The awliya. The awliya is the plural of the wali. And they call the Dusuqi, they call him the wali. And they call Jailani, they call him the wali. And they call Tijani, they call him the wali. And the rest of them, all of them, they call him the wali. And the dog and the donkey, likewise, they believe, and he's a wali. He's a wali, and in the grave of the wali, of the awliya, of the awliya. And the likes like this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's using the same word. And then He says, why do they take them as awliya? And why are they drawing near to them with different actions of worship? مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We're only doing these different actions of worship. We're only slaughtering for them. We're only taking oaths by them. We're only making tawaf around their grave. We're only giving charity in their name. We're only swearing by their name in order for them to draw us close to Allah. In order for them to draw us close to Allah. This is why they were doing those actions of worship. So the author, he says, وَهَذِهِ أَعْظَمُ مَسَّلَةٍ خَالَفَهُمْ فِيهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is the greatest issue that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed them with regards to. فَأَتَى بِالْإِخْلَاصِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with sincerity and purity of intention, purity and worship. The author, he says, رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى, وَهَذِهِ أَعْظَمُ مَسْأَلَةٍ خَالَفَهُمْ فِيهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَتَى بِالْإِخْلَاصِ وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ دِينُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ بِهِ جَمِيعَ الرُّسُلِ وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَقْبَلُ مِنَ الْعَمَالِ إِلَّا الْخَالِصِ وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ مَنْ فَعَلَ مَا اسْتَحْسَنُ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. So the author, he says, now this is the greatest issue that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed his people with regards to. This is the greatest issue that he opposed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the people of Jahiliyyah with regards to. فَأَتَى بِالْإِخْلَاصِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with al-ikhlas. He came with sincerity and purity of worship. And he making the intention sincerely and purely for Allah alone. Desiring the reward and dedicating oneself with all actions of worship to Allah alone. And he informed the people. He informed his people that this is the religion of Allah. That he has sent all of the messengers with alayhi salatu wasalam. And that Allah Azza wa Jal, He does not accept any action except for that which is done sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah. And He had informed them that whoever does the deeds that they find to be good, yani by taking mediators and intercessors along with Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking to draw near to Allah by taking intercessors, then indeed this person here, Allah has forbade, He has made the paradise forbidden for him, and his final abode and destination and resting place will be the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all of the messengers likewise with a tawheed. So the greatest issue that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed the people of his time with was the issue of at-tawheed, ikhlas al-ibadah lillahi wahdahu la sharika lah, ifradullahi bil-ibadah, ifradullahi bil-ibadah, lannahum kanu yata'abaduna lillahi. كانوا يتعبدون لله عز وجل. His people, they used to worship Allah. But this is not sufficient. Rather, they have to make the worship purely and sincerely and entirely for Allah alone. Allah, He must be singled out with all actions of worship. So this is where The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he opposed him. And this is the greatest thing that he opposed him with regards to. That it's incumbent and an obligation and the greatest right of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the greatest commandment that all actions of worship are made sincerely and only and purely for Allah alone. Purely for Allah alone. That a person, he will attach his heart, that a person, he will attach his heart with love and the hope and fear and trust and reliance and humility and submission and compliance and surrender and devotion and obedience to Allah alone. To Allah alone. He will hope for the reward from Allah alone. He will hope for the help from Allah alone. If he asks, he will only ask Allah. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. This is the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you ask, only ask Allah. If you call, call on Allah alone. Nobody can help you. Even if the nations, they all got together, they will not be able to benefit you nor to harm you. Therefore, put your trust and your faith and your and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. All of the submission, the actions of devotion, surrender and humbleness and humility and obedience is for Allah alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to direct any of that to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is called shirk. To direct any of that to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is called shirk. And this is the greatest issue that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade and he warned the people from. And he opposed his people with regards to. In this verse here that the author, he's referring to, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا. Those who have taken others besides Allah as awliya, any helpers and objects of worship, we do not worship them except to bring us near to Allah. We do not worship them except to bring us near to Allah. Who knows what surah this is in?
Surah Az-Zumar.
Surah Az-Zumar, ahsanta. This surah right here is very beautiful. Very beautiful. This is one of those chapters that's almost all about Tawheed. That if a person, he wants to learn about the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, the whole Quran is about Tawheed. But some portions of the Quran is more direct and more clear, clarifying the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from that, this chapter of Zumar, Allah, he says, Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bilhaq, fa'budillaha mukhisan lahu al-deen, ala lillahi al-deen al-khalis. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِيمَا هُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ هُوَ كَاذِبٌ كَفَّارٌ مَنْ هُوَ كَاذِبٌ كَفَّارٌ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning of this chapter, he mentions that indeed we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book in truth. So therefore worship Allah alone and make all actions of obedience and submission sincerely and purely for Allah alone. Make the religion entirely for Allah alone. Allah lillahi ad-deen al-khalis. Indeed, all of the actions of obedience and submission and surrender, ad-deen, the origin of this word, it means al-khudu' al-khudu' wa-ta'a, submission and surrender and humbleness and humility. Yani obedience. This is what ad-deen is. Ad-deen is surrender and submission with humbleness and humility. So therefore, the pure religion, that all of the actions of worship, all of the actions of devotion, all of the actions of humbleness and surrender and devotion and obedience, they must be purity for Allah alone. And those who have taken others besides Him as helpers or as objects of worship, as awliya, they say that we do not worship them except to bring us close to Allah Azza wa Jalla. We do not worship them, meaning we do not devote ourselves with these different actions of devotion and to these different idols and the saints and the likes like this, except to draw us near to Allah. Indeed, Allah is going to judge between them in that which they differ. And indeed, Allah, He does not guide the one who is a disbelieving liar. Is a disbelieving liar. So those who claim that they take these objects besides Allah Azza wa Jal as mediators to draw them near to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah, He clarified that they are liars and that they are likewise disbelievers. Clarifying that they are liars and likewise they are disbelievers, and that and there's a threat with regards to the judgment. There's a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a judgment with regards to that, any judging between them. And no doubt, those who had died in that manner, they would have a severe and painful punishment, and they will never see mercy. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will never leave the hellfire. Those who die upon taking intercessors and mediators with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, they will never leave the fire. They will never see mercy again. The last mercy they will have is the mercy that they will have in this life, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the issue is very serious. And the claim that they're awliya, or that they're objects of worship besides Allah, or that they're righteous men in the grave, or whatever they take as a mediator besides Allah, that that's a means to draw them to Allah Azza wa Jal, to draw them close and near to Allah Azza wa Jal, is a lie. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Glorified is Allah Azza wa Jal, high and lofty above that which they claim, and that which they associate as partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who they associate as partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, he says, وَهَذِهِ الشُّبْهَةِ هِيَ الَّتِي اَعْتَمَدَهَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ فِي قَدِيمِ الدَّحْرِ وَحَدِيثِهِ فِي قَدِيمِ الدَّحْرِ وَحَدِيثِهِ وَجَاءَتْهُمْ الرُّسُلُ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَدِّهَا وَالنَّهْيِ عَنْهَا وَالدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى إِفْرَادِ الْعِبَادَةِ وَالدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى إِفْرَادِ الْعِبَادَةِ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ هَذَا الشَّيْءَ اخْتَرَعَهُ الْمُشْرِكُونَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَأْذَنْ الله فيه ولا يرضى به بل أبغضه ونهى عنه. So Ibn Kathir, he mentioned that this doubt here, this shubha here, that they only take these mediators, they're only directing these actions of worship and devotion to other than Allah Azza wa Jalla in order for their objects, for their awliya, for these righteous people in the grave to draw them near to Allah. Ibn Kathir, he says that this is the shubha, this is the doubt and misconception, the misunderstanding that many people have been tried with from the beginning to the end of time. From the beginning to the end of time. Yani from the beginning, meaning from the time of Nuh alayhi salam, all the way to the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the way until our day today. It's the same shubha. It's the same doubt. It's the same false misconception. It's the same weak proof that has no foundation or ground in the religion. Rather, it's the greatest means to oppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, claiming that they will take mediators and intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jal, drawing them close to Allah, regardless of their status or rank. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of them are taking Isa alayhi salam as a mediator to draw them near to Allah. Others, they're taking angels to draw them close to Allah. Others, they're taking people they deem to be righteous, like Atlant and the likes like this, believing that they'll draw them close to Allah. This is what they believe. These righteous souls have status and rank with Allah Azza wa Jal. Before that, in the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, Wad, wa Suwa', wa Yaguth, wa Yu'uq, wa Nasr, they're righteous men. They died, they built on top of their grave images and the likes like this, until they believe that the righteous one in the grave has status and rank with Allah, and that if they do actions of devotion, drawing near to the one in the grave, this will please him, and then he will seek intercession on behalf of them with Allah, and it will be a means to bring them close to Allah. This is the doubt that they had from the very beginning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent prophets and messengers all throughout mankind. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. In every nation we have sent a messenger proclaiming to them to worship Allah alone and to avoid worshipping the false deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. And there is no prophet or messenger that has come that we have sent before, except that we revealed to him that there's nothing worthy of worship except for me, so therefore worship me alone. Every one of the prophets and messengers, whenever they came, the first thing that their people heard from them, Ya Qawmi, U'budu Allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. O my people, worship Allah alone, you have no true God worthy of worship besides Him. So then how are the people, فَأَنَّ يُؤْفَكُونَ فَأَنَّ يُصْرَفُونَ. How are they turned away? How they turned away until they start devoting themselves to the others besides Allah, to the ones who are in the grave, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the same doubt, from the same misconception, from the same aspect of al-jahiliyyah. This is from the worst of all falsehood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's not like the creation. They have a false creed, they have a false belief. They believe that they have sins, and therefore they're not good enough to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they need to go through somebody who has a pure soul that will bring them close to Allah azza wa jal. And they believe likewise that they have to have someone that'll bring them close, like the kings of the earth. The kings, many times, they will not listen to the laymen, and they will not listen to the people through the lands, In order to get through to the kings and the people of authority and the land and in the earth, person, he has to have an intercessor, a mediator. Many times if he wants to get a job, he can't go straight there and get a job. He has to have a mediator, somebody who will take his hand or intercede on his behalf, or somebody who wants to get through and get through to one of the people of authority, or to the presidents, or to the people of high rank and the likes like this. He'll not be able to go directly to them. Many times he has to have an intercessor, somebody to plead on his behalf and the likes like this, and this will benefit him. This is with regards to the people of this life. This is with regards to the people of this life. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most kind, He is the most merciful, He is the all-knowing, He hears and He sees all things. Nothing is hidden from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He does not accept mediators, and He does not accept intercessors subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore there's no need to call on others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no need to take an intercessor. Even in this life, amongst the people, any that are alive today, if somebody who has status and rank, he has somebody who knows him, and then that somebody will take a mediator to get to him, this would be considered an aib. This would be considered a fault. If a person, he had something from his father, a son, he needed something from his father, and instead of going directly to his father, he went to his uncle to his father on his behalf. Whenever his uncle comes on his behalf, he says he's asking on behalf of his son. After they're all said and done, the father's going to go to the son and be like, why you didn't come to me directly? What's wrong with you? How are you going to go to your uncle to come ask on your behalf and you're my son? What's wrong with you? Why don't you just come directly to me? Or somebody who knows somebody else and they have a relationship and they're close together, and then he will go and to somebody else to intercede for him with that same person. Whenever they're done talking, he's going to go to him and say to him, why you come to me? Why did you go around the corner? Why did you go and talk to so-and-so and bring him into this issue to come talk on your behalf? Why didn't you come directly to me? I know you. You're my son. You're my friend. You're my colleague. You're my co-worker. You're my this. You're my that. So this is considered, this is blameworthy. This is not from the good way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows all things. Nothing is hidden from Him. Nothing is hidden from Him. So to go to somebody besides Allah Azza wa Jalla to get close to Allah is from the greatest of all falsehood. Allah, He knows all things. He knows the state and the reality of all people. He forgives all sins. He's the most forgiving, the most merciful. He is the one who sees and hears all things. Nothing is hidden from Him. He needs no mediator. He needs no intercessor. He's not weak. He's not deficient. He's not preoccupied. He doesn't need to be reminded about one of us. Rather, He knows all about our life and our reality. And all He has created us for is to single Him out with love and submission and surrender, and to worship Him alone, and to make the worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely for His sake. So therefore, how can the people take intercessors? So this is the greatest of all falsehood, and this is the greatest thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opposed the people with, and this is the greatest thing that the enemies of Islam, they seek to introduce into the hearts of the believers, and this is the greatest call of the Sufis specifically, and of the Shia and the Rafida specifically, and those who aid them from the enemies of Islam, you'll find them that this is their greatest call. Their greatest call is to call the people to put their heart and trust and faith in the grave, and to seek relief and aid from the one in the grave, regardless of his status. Even if it's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he cannot help us. He cannot help us. It's not allowed to call on him. It's not allowed to ask him or to beg him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is what the extreme Sufiya, they call to. This is what the Shia and the Rafida, they call to. And Allah has clarified in His legislation and likewise in His universal decree the falsehood of this affair. If you look at the verses, so many verses in the Book of Allah clarifying that it's not allowed to call on others besides Allah, and that's the greatest of falsehood. وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ يَدْعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ دُعَاهُمْ غَافِلُونَ. The most astray, the one who's most astray, the one who's most misguided, and the deepest misguidance is the one who calls on others besides Allah. Those who cannot respond to them whatsoever. Those who cannot respond to them whatsoever. Look at how foolish they are. Who did they call on? They called on Hussein. Yeah, Hussein, yeah, Hussein. And they go to Egypt and they walk around the grave and they say that this is the grave of Hussein, and they're trying to draw near to Hussein radiallahu anhu. And at the same time, there's people in Sham. There's people in Sham and they're going around the grave. What are you doing? We're calling on Hussein. So I thought Hussein was in Egypt. So radiallahu anhu. So they got a grave for Hussein in Egypt, and they got a grave for Hussein in Sham. And then at the same time in Iraq, also they're over there going around the grave and they're claiming that this is the grave of Hussein. Subhanallah. So the grave of Hussein is in Egypt, and the grave of Hussein radiallahu anhu is in Sham, and the grave of Hussein radiallahu anhu is in Iraq. And he, subhanAllah, what is this? All of them claiming that Hussein is here in this grave, and they're all seeking relief and aid, and they're making tawaf, and they're worshipping the grave besides Allah, and all of this, the grave of Hussein, in these different lands that are so far in distance between each other, clarifying that they're liars. They're liars and they're upon falsehood. They don't know what they're saying. Just like what they're saying, they're making this up. This is something that they have made up. It's the clearest of falsehood. This is the clearest of falsehood. We should never call on anyone besides Allah. It's not allowed to call on anyone besides Allah. You put your hope, you put your faith, you put your trust, you put your reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal alone. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Dua is for Allah. Slaughtering is for Allah. You slaughter in the name of Allah, glorifying and praising Allah, because the animal is created by Allah and provided for and sustained by Allah and no one else. He has no partner in that. So therefore he should be slaughtered in the name of Allah. And nothing should be greater in the heart of a believer except for Allah. So therefore he'll never swear or take an oath by anyone except for Allah. The worship should be for Allah alone. We have to raise ourselves and our families upon devotion and sincerity and making the religion purity for the sake of Allah. And the one who is truthful in that, then from the perfection and the completion of that, and from the honesty of a believer in that statement, is that he will hold fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will not follow any other way. He'll not follow any other way. If he truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's sincere in that love for him and his devotion for Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will leave the ways of his people and his forefathers and those in his country and his land and his society that's contrary to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will follow the way of the Prophet restrictedly sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regardless of what the people say. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Then follow me, and then Allah will love you. So therefore the religion that the Prophet ﷺ came with is the religion of al-ikhlas, the religion of purity and creed and belief, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that all actions of worship, they must be devoted to Allah entirely. And that Allah, He does not accept the worship that is mixed with anything, not in a major manner or in a minor manner. مَنْ أَمِلَ أَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِي إِمَعِ غَيْدِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَ. Allah, He mentioned in the Hadith al-Qudsi that whoever does an action and he associated partner with me in that action, then I will leave him in a shirk. أَنَا أَغْنَى شُرُكَ عَنَ الشِّرْكَ. مَنْ أَمِلَ أَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِي إِمَعِ غَيْدِي تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَ. So therefore the religion, the hope and the trust and the reliance and the submission and the devotion and all actions of worship inwardly and outwardly must be for Allah alone. Must be for Allah alone. In this manner, a believer, he can have good in this life and likewise in the hereafter. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.